This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we are back. And this week, we are bringing you another listener episode. We promised you more listener episodes in 2020, and we are delivering.
We are delivering.
Today we have Darcy Penny.
Yay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Darcy has listened to every episode of Diet Starts Tomorrow and is here to share her own story about health and wellness. She is a mom of two toddlers, a wife, and works full time. She is also Carly's cousin. You may remember Carly from being on past episodes and also from running the Diet Starts Tomorrow Instagram account. Follow
She's
us.
Awesome.
And her oldest her older daughter is Carly's goddaughter. So
Aww.
We're yes. all connected in the great circle of life.
It's like Teresa and Dina.
Just like that. I don't even watch that one, but I'm just going to go with it.
I'm finally on the last, on second to last season. It's very
Congratulations.
Exciting.
Congratulations. You've come so far.
All right. So what is the weirdest thing that you do, Darcy?
So I am obsessed with the idea of the perfect bite. And if anybody saw that movie a long time ago, Mira Has Two Faces, she's all about this and the way that you combine food. So if you have like spaghetti and meatballs, you have to have a piece of the spaghetti, you have to have a piece of the meatball, and you have to have a piece of the garlic bread. Like, otherwise it just is not the perfect bite.
That's amazing.
So.
And not
you just got me so excited. That's, to
that's not the, it's not that weird. Like, if anybody follows Frank Prisanzano, I don't know how to
Prisanzano.
Say his last. Prisanzano. He's like the chef of
Supper.
Yes, in New York City, like a bunch of Italian restaurants. He's the chef, and he's really kooky on Instagram. I can't believe I said kooky. But he always like shows how he makes the perfect bite, and it makes you like, oh yeah.
Is this something I should be looking into?
Really should.
Instagram is a lot.
No, I don't need to like. Oh no, I follow him on Instagram because we went. Remember we went there?
Oh yeah, yeah.
After your bridal shower, we went and there was a blackout.
I have very memory small.
Okay, so the weirdest thing you do is that you're looking for the perfect bite.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's like constantly.
Constantly.
Okay.
And when you get the right combination of the each piece with the sauce and whatnot, it's just absolute perfection. And you go, just that's what you were looking for. That is the yummy factor.
Does that slow you down? Does that make you eat slower?
It does. It really does. And that's one of the things that I consciously try to do when I eat a meal is to go as slow as possible and to be the last one at the table eating. So if you're like combining the food right and you're really thinking you're taking your time, but you're also enjoying the meal.
It's like it's like the anti of a race.
It's mindful.
Yeah.
It's very mindful.
It's very mindful. Yeah. But like instead of being the first one done, you're the last one done.
Well, you know, if you eat with the queen, you can't eat after she eats. So this only works if you're not eating with the queen.
You can't eat until after she's done.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
So she finishes and you just like if you had taken your first,
done.
You have to be done.
If the queen's not hungry, like you're fucked pretty much.
Oh my God. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
Yeah.
I'm going to instill that with my family.
That's where you stop eating.
You're all done.
Is that how you get your kids to go on diets? I'm kidding. I'm totally joking about that.
Okay, Sammy, what's the weirdest thing you did this week?
This morning, I put my jeans on the heater so that they would be warm before I put them on.
You live in a kibbutz. What is this?
I just didn't want to like put on cold jeans. You
I think
know?
That's normal. So. Oh, like not out of the dryer. Like
no, yeah,
like
no.
To warm them up. Like a
out of the closet.
That's fair. That's funny. really funny.
What's the weirdest thing you do or did this
I
week?
I really can't think of something weird. I do a lot of weird things 24/7. What did I do? That's weird. I mean, I've been wearing glasses all week. I guess it's not like a weird habit. I'm doing a consult to get my LASIK potentially. So I'm wearing glasses all week. And let me tell you, they fog up all the time. Like, I have to wear them working out, and I'm just like laying, like I'm trying to do like a any type you're doing a crunch or anything, they constantly fog up, and God. Like I'm like, Matt, I can't see anything.
He's like, take do they fall off when you're working out?
No, because I got these great glasses with hooks on the bottom.
What's your vision?
Bad. Like, it's my contact prescription is -4.75.
That's high.
I know. My God. I'm blind AF. It's really hard. Like, when I have to put on, this week, putting on makeup has been so difficult because I have to put the mirror so close to my face, you know, just to even see, like, to make sure I don't, like, put on eyeliner or brow stuff, like, in my nose. I don't know. But I guess wearing glasses and just complaining about the fogging has been the weirdest thing.
That has been happening.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Okay, Darcy. So tell us about your, I guess, journey with your body image, with your weight. I know there's a lot with, you know, your pregnancies that ties into this. So tell us your story.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
So I personally have struggled with my weight for as long as I can possibly remember. Like, I can remember joining Weight Watchers at 13 years old and
same
joining again in college and joining again at 25 and doing okay on it and until like I didn't, and it was just okay, I'm done and whatnot. And then I've been with my husband for almost 15 years. We've been together forever. Like, I started diet out of vanity reasons because we were getting married. I wanted to look really awesome on our wedding day. I wanted to do great things. And I just was never successful. I started IVF after about 6 months of being married. We were trying to have kids. It just was not going well. Went for a consult and we had to do IVF, which in vitro fertilization. And that process destroys your body.
Really?
Like, I gained more weight doing IVF. I did 2 egg retrieval cycles and I gained 25 pounds. On each one, on those medications.
Why? Is it hormones?
They're shooting every single type of hormone into you to get you, like, primed and ready to, like, pull as many eggs as they possibly can so that you would have the most success. Mm-hmm. And the worst I've ever felt in my life was the day of my egg retrieval. I remember, like, feeling I was, like, 9 months pregnant. And now I've gone through 2 pregnancies, and I felt worse on the day of my egg retrieval than I did, like, walking in to go have my babies. After having 2 C-sections, I felt, like, that was the day that I felt the worst.
Wow.
I was bloated beyond belief. I had, like, I was retaining water. Like, I remember, like, the day after my egg retrieval, I was down 6 pounds. But, I mean, those medications just mess with you. And
women, is that common?
It is pretty common. And women who go through IVF, like, they're really warriors. Like, it's just unreal what we have to go through to have kids. But I always knew I was going to be a mom. And I was going to do anything possible that I could to be a mom and to have that family. And I did what I had to do. But it messed with my body. And I was not able to get rid of that weight. And in fact, like, in my pregnancies, I only gained like 5 pounds. And ended pregnancy quite often, like, right at that same number that I started. And that weight came off pretty quickly. I could not get rid of the IVF weight. Like, it was just, it was too hard. So when I was pregnant with my second daughter, something in my head clicked. I said, you know what? I have so much to live for. And I have this amazing husband. I am now going to have two daughters. I have everything in the world to look forward to. And, you know, to know a little bit more on my personal side of things, my father passed away very unexpectedly at 62 years old. It was extremely shocking. It was such a surprise. He had been in a car accident the year before, but he was doing so well. And his heart just stopped and he was gone. My mother, who I love more than anything, has been overweight her entire life, does not make her health a priority. And I think I was in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I can't do this. It's more than just me, and I have to do something. And my mindset shifted, and I was pregnant. So I wanted to go and start doing this right away, but I couldn't.
Right.
So I started researching Weight Watchers. They had a new plan that had come out. It was the freestyle plan. And I was like, that looks like it's doable. I think I can do that. And when I had Frankie, who's my younger daughter.
Oh, that's such a cute name.
My older daughter is Charlie. So it's Charlie and Frankie.
I love those names. Yeah.
So when I had Frankie, I went to the doctor 8 weeks after I got clearance. And that day I went and joined Weight Watchers.
Oh, great.
And it has been such the most amazing program for me. For the first time in my life, I was doing Weight Watchers, not for the vanity reasons of losing weight. I was doing it for more than that. I was doing it for a lifelong fitness journey, a lifetime of health, a lifetime with my children, so that in 50 years, I'm there with my kids, who hopefully have kids at that time, that my husband and I are traveling. To achieve all the goals in life that I wanted to do.
Did you feel like it was a much different mental shift than when you were doing it when you were 13 or in your 20s?
I think when I was in 13 and I was 20, I just wanted to look better. I didn't necessarily want to feel better. I wanted to look good in a bathing suit. I wanted to feel confident walking around in clothes. And it wasn't for anything other than that. And now it was all the reasons that people can't see that I was doing it. To go to the doctor and not get looked at you need to lose weight,
I just went to one.
And that's I was constantly, every time I would go to the doctor, they would say some sort of thing about losing weight, as opposed to looking at me. I'm healthy. If you look at my blood work, my numbers, everything is healthy, but I wasn't treated I was healthy. When I went through the two pregnancies, my OB, who has been my OB since I was 16 years old, he knows me very well. I got sent very early for gestational diabetes testing because I was overweight, not because
they saw something.
Yeah. They go, oh, she's overweight, she's going to have a problem. My numbers were perfect. Uh-huh. I was healthy, but that's all they saw was the weight. And so the mind shift for me really changed. I wanted to change everything on the inside for the future. I wanted to maintain the healthy numbers that I had, and it wasn't that vanity reason of losing weight. That's that's an amazing factor and a byproduct of it, but it's all the other things. And I think that's what made the difference in this journey for me.
For context, how long ago was that shift?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Frankie will be 2 on February 13th. So,
So happy birthday, Frankie. She gets a little shout out. So let's, now that we have the overview, let's start at the beginning and really talk about how, what brought you on this journey. So you said you went to Weight Watchers at 13. I'm sure so many listeners have. They've reached out and told us that pretty much that same story. What was your relationship like with food when you were young, and how did it evolve through college and after college?
So the thing with me, I don't have an extraordinarily big appetite. I could personally go all day and not eat. Food was not the priority. So the problem that I would then have is that I would skip breakfast, I would skip lunch, and then I would have a huge dinner, and then I would just be grabbing things here and there. So the food that I was eating was not healthy. The portions were not healthy. The way that I combined food wasn't good. I ate a lot of processed stuff. I drank a lot of soda. I drank a lot of high sugar. Like, I consumed my calories versus in drinks. In college, like, I remember stopping Weight Watchers because I was like, there's no way I can maintain my points and go out drinking.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, I would go all day and not eat anything so that I can go and have drinks that night and try to stay on program. I was half-assing the program. Like, it's never going to work if you're not doing it right. So, like, food to me wasn't necessarily, oh, my God, I need to eat. I'm so hungry. Like, when I came to Weight Watchers this time, the biggest change for me is I eat 3 meals a day, I eat 2 snacks. I'm constantly eating. I don't let myself get to the point that I'm hungry because mm-hmm. if I get to that point of hunger, I overeat. I'm not gonna make the right choices. So I follow the best schedule that I can, and my life is chaotic. I have 2 kids. I'm a mom. I work full time. I'm an IT technology sales rep covering New York City and New Jersey. Like, I got home last night at 11:30 at night. So wow. Like, a lot of my food is eaten on the run. I try to stay as prepared as I possibly can.
Yeah, we get listeners and you know, audience members who write to us about that, people who work like night shifts if they're like nurses or
yeah.
Like, there's a lot that's very common of mm-hmm. a problem, and I think it's hard to understand if you're not actually your schedule is not it. Like that, but it is really challenging because yeah. those aren't situations where you have like healthy whole foods available. Nope. It's like you're grabbing something from a vending machine.
Yep.
And you're going on like a sugar
cafeteria.
Spike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of pre-prep work on the weekends that I do. I'm really blessed with an amazing partner. My husband has stepped up and does a lot of the cooking for us.
Oh, that's sweet.
So we do meal planning and have a plan for the week, and that really, really helps. So
did you ever kind of get involved with other fad diets when you were younger, or was it always sort of that you tried
Atkins?
Same, yeah.
You know, and you know, I love bread. I'm Italian. I love my pasta. Like, any of those fad diets, like, you know, like, let's throw a ton of fiber here and whatnot. Like, it didn't seem sustainable. So when I looked at like different, like, what am I going to do? And like, as when I was pregnant with Frankie, and I knew when that baby was out of me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this lifestyle change. Like, I was researching all the diets, and like, everybody wants this magic diet, like mm-hmm. I'm gonna do this for 2 weeks and I'm gonna lose 50 pounds,
like yeah, you know, like, how can I lose the weight that I've gained over like my entire life by next Friday?
Yeah. You know, like I want to go on vacation, I want to wear a bikini like next week, so I need to lose the most amount of weight in this instant.
Yeah.
And how can I do that? And I think that's another thing that for me really worked this time is that I didn't go into this as I'm on a diet. I'm going into this as I'm on a lifestyle change. And
or you're trying to learn yeah, healthy, new healthy habits.
Yeah, I'm trying to do this for the rest of my life. So eating a ton of fiber in a day for the rest of my life is probably not going to happen. Not eating bread and cheese and only and all the keto.
Only
and,
meats.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I would love to go vegan. I would love to do that, but I love cheese.
Yeah,
so
you vegan cheese you, just isn't as
vegan
tasty.
Vegan cheese is good. But it is just not cheese.
It's just not cheese.
So, like,
it's cheese-like.
There's something good about smelly ass cheese, you know?
So, yeah. So, like, I looked at every single program that I could possibly do. And I said, I'm going to try Weight Watchers. I said I was going to give it 6 months. And if it didn't work, that I would reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do anything with packaged foods. I didn't want to do anything that is completely eliminating anything. Like, my life is chaos already, plus, you know, toddler, like trying to feed a toddler and who's super, super picky and making a family meal at the same time. Like, I didn't want to be like the short order cook and have like 4 different meals going on. That was important to me. So I didn't want to do, can I say like the other
anything
diet names?
Want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to do Jenny Craig where I'm eating like a packaged meal. Like, I wanted yeah. to be able to cook for my husband and I who does not have a weight problem. He just eats a ton of crap all the time. And it's like, how many cookies can he eat in a sitting? So, but I wanted to, like, the health benefits of my life to touch on my kids and to touch on my husband and to touch on those around me. And Weight Watchers gave that to me.
Okay, that's great. So when did you do Weight Watchers? 2 years ago?
Yeah, I joined 2 years.
And when you said, I'm going to see how this works for 6 months. What were the effects that you were hoping for? Like, what was your expectation?
I wanted to see a weight loss.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see a program that felt sustainable for the future.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted results. I wanted to see results. If I wasn't seeing results, then I was going to reevaluate and change. But I didn't want to say, oh, I'm going to do a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, everybody loses weight, like, very much at the beginning, and then it kind of, like, flounders. And I said, I can do this for 6 months.
That's
so
great.
Did it change your relationship with food at all? Do you think that the way that diet is structured,
it really is helpful? It really does. It forces you to eat more cleanly. So now the new program, they have, like, three separate programs, and the combinations of food, I'm on the purple plan, so there's like 300 plus foods that I get to eat. But
what does the purple plan mean, basically?
I get a less amount of points for foods that are not. So I have to build my day around, like, lean proteins, fruits, vegetables, whole grains.
Because those count as, like, 0 points.
Yeah, those are 0 points. And then I only get a limited amount of points to use on other stuff. So
what's the distinction between, like, the purple plan and, like, what are the other things?
So that the green plan would have less foods on the free 0 point list, and then have more points in your day, so that it gives them the option, like, to have more chips, potatoes, things like that. So I really have to eat cleanly to be able to have a full day of food. So,
like, in the beginning, they ask you, I think, right, correct me if I'm wrong, that, like, what your goals are. And if your goal is to track less, for example, then, or, like, eat whole, like, have a better relationship with food or something, then they might put you on the purple plan because, so, like, you're concentrating on, like, portion size. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's like on the purple plan, so portion size is not an issue for me. Like, if I'm full, I can stop myself. And so for me, the purple plan will work. Like, yeah. Well, I mean, I do. There's, if you have a plate of food, and if I get to that satiation point, I can say, you know what, I'm done. I don't need to eat this, and push it away. If you can't do that, then that purple plan is not for you. You would want to go on the green plan, where you're tracking the points more carefully. So there's the foods that are on my plan. So I can have whole grains. So I can have brown rice. Unlimited brown rice. No, I mean, and what you have to remember is that
you're still eating,
you're consuming calories. So, like, you have to be cognizant of the amount of food that you are taking in. So just because it is 0 points doesn't mean it is 0 calories. So, like, I can have whole wheat pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the green plan, like, a cup of whole wheat pasta would be 5-6 points. Like,
I think their theory is that if you're allowing yourself to have it, you won't over and
exactly.
over. Go over and just can, and you can have it every day.
It's a theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question. So sure. What happened with your relationship with, like, working out? I understand you got more.
So
into
I was not into fitness at all. I am very, 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 very self-conscious, especially in working out in front of people. So the gyms are intimidating to me because not only do I not know what the heck I'm doing, and most of them, I'm just convinced that everybody is staring at me and laughing at me. So I started activity in a way that I could. Now I have 2 kids. So I strapped on the baby in a baby carrier. I had my toddler in a stroller, and I'm like, I'm going to go walk around the block today.
That's great.
And that, it was a struggle. It truly was a struggle. And the next day I'm like, I'm going to walk around the block 2 times. And then just went a little bit more each and every day. And about a month or so into doing that activity, I was like, I'm doing this. I got this. I can do a little bit more. And I started thinking about the gym, and, like, my heart was be racing. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, I don't want to. Plus, like, when am I going to go? Like, I work 12 hours a day. When I'm not working, I'm with my kids. Like, my schedule is insanity. Like, and I also, because I'm a salesperson, I'm home-based when I'm not visiting customers. Every day is different. Like, so, like, some people can go, like, I have a 9 o'clock, I'm going to go to the gym at 8, and then I'm going to go to my work, and then I'm going to come home, and I can go to the gym at this time. I don't have that. I found Peloton.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the Peloton.
I know.
Train.
Yeah. It I was terrified to try it.
Yeah.
I like stalked their website for weeks. I probably did the instant chat with them 20 times saying like, too. What is, can I actually do this? And then I got my tax refund and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna effing go for it.
That's a good use of it. That's a good use. Yeah.
So I got it. I ordered the bike. My first ride, I think I got 7 minutes of a 20 minutes ride. And it was like, I hopped off the bike and I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Good thing they have the return thing.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I didn't. And the next day I shot for 10 minutes and I got 10 minutes. And then I shut the leaderboard off. Like, that's a big thing on the Peloton. Some people,
yeah, it I turn really off motivates
them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am totally at the bottom and I cannot compete. So I shut it off. And I look at the results afterwards. Like, my goal was always to do a little bit more each day. And I got great at it.
Good job.
Like, not great, but I'm better. Like, I was able to do 30, 45 minute rides. I was kind of in the middle of the pack. I was doing well. And the fact that it was at home was such a big thing. Like, I could do this in the comfort of my home with nobody watching me. I could do it at
you don't need
5
a sitter.
In the morning or 9 o'clock at night. I can do it in between conference calls. Like, that was the ability, like, and the amazingness of it for me.
Something that I think that you do really well is like kind of small goal setting.
Yes.
Like I think a lot of people give up because they're like, I can never do a 45 minute class. So they're just never, because they're trying to go from 0 to 45.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And think like, oh, if I do this once and it's so horrible, I'll just quit after. But I think it's really amazing that you start with once around the block, then it's twice. You start with 7 minutes, then it's 10 minutes. And I think that we all should sort of look at the things we struggle with in that way. Like, just getting a little bit better does count and it does matter. And now, like you say, you're good at it.
And it brings like compassion around your own,
yes,
around yourself and what your abilities are.
I am like the voice inside my head. I'm so mean to myself.
Same.
It's such a struggle. And like, I hear it talked about on here all the time. Like, you know, would you tell your best friend what you're telling yourself? And no, like, so I try to think with my best friend's voice in my head saying, you know what, you can do this and you're worth it. And give yourself a little bit of kindness and compassion.
Have you made progress with that?
I'm better than I was, but I'm still not great. But I stop myself. And when those thoughts start going super negative, and it's usually in the middle of a workout when I'm saying that I can't do it.
Well, because it hurts. Yeah. And it's hard.
But then when you're done.
Then you're done. You're like, yes, I'm a warrior. I can do anything that I try. And look what I just did. And I bought the Peloton tread as well.
Oh,
so,
both. Wow. Yeah.
So a year after like not having me.
Where do you have this room?
Well, I live in the suburbs.
Okay.
So I'm going there.
Yeah.
I told Matt from Liv, I'm like, I'm only going when you move there. Actually, what I like about Peloton, not this isn't a Peloton ad, but that they do have classes for 10, 15 minutes, that it feels welcoming. Like for me, before I got it, I was like such an extremist. I was like, I need to do a 45 minute class or nothing. And like things like that. But then I was like 45 minutes is now too long. Like this class is way harder than
anything
else. There's
so many days that I do 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 10 minutes there.
And like, it makes you feel okay.
It does. And it's like, there's times like the days I'm working from home, which I love about the treadmill. I'm like, I hop on and I walk while like talking on the phone. Having it there, having it available to me, having all the different types of classes and all the different instructors, and I need somebody to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like a personal, you have the personal trainer and they're sitting there telling you, okay, run 2 minutes, stop, take a break. Okay, run on a hill. Let's go. Like, and ride. Same. Let's do the climb. Like, I need that. And in my home where nobody is watching me because, you know, obviously that, like the self-consciousness is still there.
Did you ever have an experience like going to a class or a gym that made you feel like this specifically? Or
I've just always felt self-conscious, like from middle school gym class. Like, you know, I had a gym teacher who like was forcing me to run a mile in 16 minutes and I couldn't do it. And
they always put us on such display, right?
Yeah, they did. It's like everyone go run. Oh, now do a push up in front of the whole class.
Or
do a pull up in front of the whole class.
Or like that fitness assessment where they tried to
see. Fitness test.
I hated that thing.
If you go to a pull up or like far, see how far you could stretch. I was like, F you, I can't stretch.
No. That was the only thing I could do was stretch.
I was like,
I'm so good at the stretching.
I can really touch my toes. Yeah.
But yeah, no, do a pull up. I'm like, I can barely even hang from this bar.
Same.
So, yeah. The one thing that on my fitness journey that I'm really, really now working towards, I need to do more strength work. Like, I can do cardio. Cardio mm-hmm. is, especially Peloton, makes the cardio so easier. And with that, now I've started doing the strength work.
They have strength stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm trying to do more of the boot camps. And I struggle with a modified push-up. I'm like, mm-hmm. I need to get better at this. You can use
the same kind of yes. formula. Starts, do yeah. one modified, do exactly. two modified.
Like, I'll do the push-ups against the wall to start. And yeah. like, now my goal is, like, I'm doing the modified
you have to start
on my knees. Yeah, so I'm working towards it, and it's getting better.
That's awesome.
That's great.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word, because the reality is UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women, but dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now, because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do, and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on azoproducts.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
I feel like we should go back to the whole IVF yeah. piece, because I feel like that was the impetus for all of it, right? Yeah. Talk us through, like, also, what was the emotional journey, like, even just deciding, figuring out that you had to go through it?
I will say that I'm truly, truly blessed that when it came to IVF, my husband at the time was working for the state, so we had an amazing IVF coverage. So to go and find out that we had to do this, like, that mental, like, anguish that a lot of people have to go through of, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to do that? Like, that piece was taken out for us. Going to the doctors, and our issue was male factor. So they're sitting there telling me, like, oh, everything is going to be fine. You're going to do great. At the same time, they also were saying, your weight could be an issue. You know, like, that could be a problem. There was talk of me possibly having to lose weight before starting, but then it turned out, okay, it's male factor. We can jump right into IVF. You have the coverage. It's just overwhelming.
What's male factor?
So the issue is with my husband.
Sperm. Okay.
So
another place where women get fucking screwed exactly. in society is that like you have the problem and I have to go through this weight gaining surgery thing.
And my biggest one of my biggest fears before IVF, I'm afraid of needles.
Oh no.
Like, I am terrified of needles. And now you're about to, I have to go for blood work 4 times a week. I have to get poked with 5 different types of needles. And like, we went through everything, and like my husband would be in charge of all the medication, and I would lie on the bed with a pillow over my head, like biting my fingernails and like saying, just don't tell me, just do it.
I feel your pain like right now.
Like it was horrible. But now it's funny because I've gone through it and I can seriously go get blood and I'm like, okay, I need the small butterfly needle. You gotta do the full length and my veins are kind of twisted. Like I've done it. I've gotten poked so many times and it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're up for monitoring 4 times a week, every other day. Like I was getting up at 5 in the morning to go to the doctor to get blood work and an ultrasound. And
how long did this last?
So the egg retrieval, it was probably about a month. You go usually on the third day of your cycle. And then you go for 12 days of, for me, it was about 12 days of pokes and prods. And then a couple days after that, you trigger and you go for the egg retrieval.
What does it mean to trigger?
It's just a drug to release the eggs so that they can able to get them.
Did you see that post Amy Schumer did of like literally her stomach?
Yes.
Or like her area.
I'm so proud of her that she did that because everyone just says, oh, I did IVF as if it's like I like went to the bathroom.
No.
Like it's this massive
it's a
thing.
It's process and it's exhausting and it's hard. It's physically, you feel really, really alone. And I love Amy Schumer for talking about it. I love like Robin Arzón from Peloton froze her eggs and she talked about it. Not enough people talk about it. And
for sure.
And it's like there's so much stigma around it. Like there's something wrong with me. Like I can't do this and I need help. Everybody should go out and talk about it because this amazing science and this amazing group of people are able to help you achieve your dreams. Yeah. Like
there's also reasons to do IVF that are not because like someone can't have a baby. Like I know I have a friend who's doing it now because of like genetic testing. Like they matched for some
exactly.
carrier or something. And so they need to do it this way. And yeah,
there's so many reasons. Like I have a friend that I've met through IVF. They went through IVF. Her husband had testicular cancer as a child. So,
oh wow.
Like for them to have children, it was extremely difficult. Like this is there for a reason. And there's nothing wrong with going out and saying, I'm doing IVF. I'm doing everything that I can to achieve my dreams. Like I want to be a mom. Like that was my goal. And this is how I'm going to become a mother.
That's amazing. I would love for us to really work on changing the conversation around IVF. I know this is totally an aside, but like I think that it needs to be spoken about with the seriousness that it actually, what it actually feels like for people. You're taking a month out of your life. You still have to go to work, like worry about your daily self. In many cases, people have a child while they're doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, it's like a real surgery. It's not.
It's not something to be taken lightly. And going back for the second was so much harder because now, like, when you're going through the first one, like, my husband was at every appointment with me.
Yeah.
He was able to hold my hand, you know. And when we went back for number two, and I had to do another full egg retrieval. So, we started the process from the beginning. Now, every appointment I'm going is at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my husband has to stay home because you can't bring children into the waiting room. That's out of respect for the people who don't have children yet, because it's really hard for them to see children. So my husband has to stay home with Charlie, and now you feel so alone. It's like it's dark, and you're driving to this fertility clinic to get your blood work and to get an ultrasound, and you're sitting in a waiting room by yourself, and you're like, why do I have to do this? Like, like there's a lot of unfairness in there, and the mental stuff that you go through, like, why does it have to be so difficult? Like, why can't this be easy? Like, why? There's so much there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I have two friends who just literally, one just texted me. She gave birth like just now.
Congratulations.
And then I have a friend who was pregnant at the same time as her, gave birth a few days ago. And she was one of them had a really easy pregnancy and one of them had like a very, very difficult pregnancy. She was literally saying to me the other day after our other friend gave birth, she's like, I don't understand why mine was so hard and hers was just like, she was fine the whole time.
I was, I had very difficult pregnancies. I had morning sickness through the entire thing. Like I lost 15 pounds in my first trimester from throwing up as much as I did. So then I only I gained some of it back, but I ended both pregnancies weighing less than when I started because of the morning sickness.
Wow.
I couldn't eat anything.
That's crazy.
It took three medications.
I also think it's like talking about all of like how hard it is just to go through that both emotionally and physically. Like then you have the whole like weight gain thing and then you make yourself feel bad about that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's because of the stigma around it. And like this still, despite all of this body positivity, women are expected to bounce back. And like, there's such little compassion for women who just did this extremely tremendous thing, which is like carry a child for almost a year. Like, just every time you look in the mirror, you have this incredible baby growing inside of you and you have to take care of that baby. You have to take care of yourself and you're constantly thinking about two things. It's like, and then on top of that, we have to look amazing when we leave the hospital.
You have to leave the hospital and looking feel like great, wonderful.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. That to me like is the most shocking thing.
Right, like no one talks about how Kate Middleton is wearing like a diaper because she's like been bleeding for days and will continue to for another two months.
You can barely walk, but you know, you need to have lost 25 pounds from walking in the hospital to getting out. I mean, I went back to work after 6 weeks.
Jesus.
Wow. And
I mean, don't get me started on family leave in America.
Like, it's terrible. And like not going back was not an option.
Yeah.
Like, and
For most people, it's not.
You can't. Like I had 6 weeks and that was with my second daughter. With my first daughter, with Charlie, like they told me I could take 2 weeks.
Have you ever thought of changing your career?
No.
No.
No. I truly, truly, truly love what I do. I've landed at a company. Like I left the first company.
Okay.
Because of their response. I left while pregnant.
Wow.
Because they were like, you can take 2 weeks. And if you take any more time than that.
2 weeks? That's like illegal.
They said, okay, here's where they were not illegal. Is that they said you would have your job. We're going to take your accounts.
Oh my God.
So that's manipulative.
So I would have come back and not had those accounts. And
wow.
I was just like, I'm done. The next company was phenomenal. Like I had the 6 weeks off, but if I didn't go back in 6 weeks, I'm a salesperson. Most of my stuff is in commission. When you get paid on a base only on your disability, it's hard to live. So I did go back after 6 weeks because I needed that. But the company I'm at now, I know that they have a phenomenal policy. I would never leave. I love my company.
I just have to commend you on your bravery of leaving a job while you're pregnant. Like
the stress,
that's like unheard of.
That's unheard of.
The stress that they were putting me through was unsafe.
So having learned all these lessons, had these experiences, had this sort of follow you your whole life, what do you hope that your daughters take away from, what do you hope to convey to them about a healthy lifestyle, about, you know, all these things that you've learned and been through?
So I look at their relationship with food. Like, I swear, I don't want to get my fucking issues into them. So, like, I give them a cookie. Give them two cookies. I don't give them 10. Like, I let them have treats. Like, Charlie, she would rather have an apple than candy.
Lucky Charlie.
Like she'll eat her cookies. It's all to me, to them. Like I want them to have the balance. I don't want them to think about it as much as possible. But it's one of the reasons that I loved Weight Watchers. It has changed the way that I eat. I eat more cleanly. I eat more whole grains. I eat more fresh. We make dinner almost every single night. What I'm trying now to do is less chicken nuggets for them and more that you're eating what we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to know it's okay to indulge, but not every meal can be an indulgence. And that's one of the things that is super, super important to me, it's all about balance.
It's also amazing that you're modeling physical activity for them. So even though you're not going to the gym, it actually might be kind of like a blessing in disguise because they're going to see you being active regularly.
Charlie loves to jump on the treadmill when it's not on. And she goes, I'm mommy. And is like making the like and she's running. Great. And it's super, super cute. So that's also a really important thing. Like I want them to talk about how their mother is doing these things. And I'm starting to train for like a 5K and maybe a 10K. Like I want them to be proud of me. And look at me like I do a lot. I work. I am trying to get that balance of fitness, but I want them 20 years from now to know that they can do the same thing. They can be a mom. They can work full time. They can have the balance in life, and they can do anything that they want.
Well, you're definitely showing them a good example. And I think that really the most important thing you can do is just do it. And then they'll see it and then it'll sink in. Yeah. Hopefully.
That's the hope.
I think we can do a listener email now. Are you ready to answer someone's question?
I'm answering their question.
Oh, well, we all are. Okay. Give your input.
I will.
Okay. Do you want me to?
Yes. Go ahead.
For it. All right. Hey, Aileen and Sammy, love the pod. Thanks for creating a great space for learning and also ranting/venting about health and wellness. I'm having a problem with one of my friends. We've been friends for over 10 years, but she annoys the shit out of me when it comes to health and weight. She's always complaining about how she needs to lose weight to get under a very low threshold. The listener is writing in. By the way, she plans on doing this by starving herself. I've been on Weight Watchers for... Oh, another Weight Watchers. Wow,
Weight Watchers is awesome.
This isn't sponsored. I've been on Weight Watchers for 2 years actively trying to lose weight and have made amazing progress, 35 pounds down. But I'm also looking to lose another 10 just so I can have a quote unquote normal BMI. My friend tweeted a few weeks ago about how her size 2 dress she bought was too big. And of course, she shouldn't have trusted the sales associate by telling her she's a 2. I'm sorry, what? You really need to tweet about how you are a proud size 0 and anyone who tells you otherwise is a moron? She has body dysmorphic disorder, so I feel like a huge asshole calling her out when she talks like this, but it's so frustrating for me given that I've actually been overweight my entire life. Any advice here? I don't want to offend her bod. No, BBD. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend her BDD, but I can't stand listening to her. Thanks.
BDD is body dysmorphic.
Body dysmorphic disorder. I thought it said bod because the D looks like an O in like all caps. It's like her bod. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely hard. I'm sure there are so many people out there with friends like that aren't like supportive of their own struggles. So I feel you.
I mean, I think the most important thing to understand about this person is that she has a real problem. This is like, imagine if she had like a physical illness or like it seems like, I'm not a therapist, but it seems like she has a real problem. And really, I don't know if it's your job to point it out or solve it for her, but or even kind of convey to her that this is what you perceive as what's going on. But I think the most important thing you have to do is protect yourself from this, by setting boundaries basically with her when she speaks about certain things. Maybe this isn't someone who you've been friends for a long time, but maybe you can like kind of cool your friendship for a little bit while she is trying to deal with these things if it's really triggering for you, because ultimately at the end of the day you have to protect yourself and your own mental health and your own relationship with your body. And if this is really taking the toll on you that it is, you have to put some boundaries in place.
I agree. And I think that like if somebody was doing this to me, I think that at first I would try to like sort of set the standard that I'm not going to have a conversation about this, but in like a friendly way. Like I'd be like, oh, stop, you're beautiful. And then let's say she brings it up again, just change the topic and like keep training her that's the way these conversations are going to go. And then I think that she will create distance from herself or from you or bring it up. And then that's where you can say like, I don't think what is happening is necessarily like, I'm worried about what's happening.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with setting boundaries. Definitely. With your friends. And if she is causing you stress and causing heartache and issues for your personal fitness journey, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need to take a step back on talking about weight and food and these things with you. And I think you need to do the same.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well,
definitely email us, guys, like if you have like issues like this. We're here to support you. Like, I'm sorry if you're going through something like that. It's very stressful. If you yourself are having your own, if you are or have graduated out of having a, your own disorder, and you yourself are working on how to better your own health, and then you have someone who's kind of bringing you down, I think like 100%, like email us. And if you also maybe if it gets really bad, I think that you could maybe speak to her family or do something a little bit more about, like, if you have real concerns about her health.
Yes. So email us at dst@betches.com.
Yeah.
If you are looking for advice on that.
All right. It's time for Not Scale Wins.
Great.
I love him.
Should I read the listener?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Sam and Aileen, first, I am a huge fan of the DST podcast. So that's our Not Scale Win. Your podcast is my favorite to listen to while I'm working out. And you guys have honestly inspired me to do 5 more reps, 5 more minutes on the elliptical, etc. I've also learned a lot about fitness and health since I started listening. So I'm extremely grateful to be able to listen to two huge advocates for physical and mental health every week. Now on to my Not Scale Win. Although born and raised in New York, I moved to Germany about a year and a half ago for work. My job is about 2 miles away from my apartment, and in true New York fashion, I started walking there every day when I first moved. However, once I realized that the bus could take me from my street directly to work, it was easy to get lazy. After coming back from visiting home for Christmas, I felt like I needed to be more active here, so I bought myself a bike. My non-scale win is that I managed to bike to work instead of taking the bus every day for a week now, which is a great way to get some cardio in every morning and evening. I'm determined to turn this into my regular means of transportation now. Keep doing great things with DST, and I'm so excited to hear all the new episodes to come in 2020. Best, Nicola. Bikes are also good for the environment, so...
Yeah,
that was awesome.
It's also fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. Okay, what is your non-scale win, Darcy?
So being invited to talk on the podcast. Honestly, I was so honored and appreciative to be able to share my story and hopefully help at least one person. That was my goal for this, but...
That's great. I'm sure you will.
So awesome.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. I think you talked about a lot of things that are, you know, people really would be interested in hearing. I think especially, you know, your IVF journey. It's rare that you get such candidness about it. Yeah. So,
yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
What's yours?
Mine. I went to a primary care, to get a, I don't know what I would
check up.
Check up. Yeah. And well, cause I got, cause I went on Rusty's sick insurance. So I was just like getting all my doctors in. So I went and she like, I'm like, just, you know, happy. Like she's talking. I'm like, not really having any issues. Knock on wood. And she's like, oh, like your weight. And I was like, here we fucking go. And she mentions that. I was like, listen, like I'm like really healthy. Like you know, I've been doing this my whole life. I give her a little spiel. It was so weird for me to like have this conversation now, having had like the experience of talking about health and wellness now for like this past year and plus. It was very bizarre talking to a doctor about it. She's like, okay, well, you know, and she gives me like all this little advice, like maybe have one less drink. And I was like, all right, let's like, just
thank
end this.
You.
I was just let's end this spiel.
My fucking career.
So she leaves, she hands me this packet and I'm going through this packet and the packet's the first page says all your like vitals and shit. By the way, like I got all my test results, like I've bill of blood.
Everything is good.
My cholesterol, my blood pressure, all of it is pretty chill. So then I look in the second page of the packet and it's like how to make a plate. Like vegetables, half vegetables, one quarter protein, one quarter like carbs. I was like, all right, let's keep moving. And then I keep the next page and it's like all this like generic, very like top line advice as if like I did not just tell her that I've been struggling with this my whole life and I've actually been making like strides to be a healthier person. Like the advice, I really like this doctor. She spends a lot of time with me, but by the way, I was very pleasantly surprised. You know, usually they come in and out and she was like, spoke a lot of time explaining things to me. But then I'm like going through this packet and it's like all of this shit. I was like, this is a joke. So then this is a long line scale, but the medical assistant comes in and she's like taking my blood. And I'm just like, this is funny. Like to me, like, I'm like better, easier said than done. Like, I'm like scoffing, you know?
And but you're like, you think this is the first time I heard this bitch?
And this girl's like, oh, please don't. She's like, don't tell me. Like, I mean, I just, She's like, that's what I've been going through this whole year. Like, I was obsessed with soda my whole life. Soda, soda, soda. So I, like, so the doctor gave me advice to cut it out and just start drinking tea. And so I've been doing that. I was like, oh, how is that going? And she's like, you know, like, actually really well. Like, I cut out soda and I was drinking tea. And then now moving on to water. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, I'm so proud of you. That's like such an amazing win. And I was also like, this is one half of my win. It was like my conversation with her. Like, it felt kind of meaningful because I wouldn't have like talked about the packet had it not been for this podcast. And we had like a connection.
Right.
Okay. But then after the doctor, so I'm like still flipping through this packet on the subway.
How long is the packet?
This is like 5 to 6 pages about ways of being a healthier person. Walk up the stairs. Oh, take there the was stairs. A graph. Oh,
yeah, my problem is there the was stairs.
A graph. Well, I did take the stairs today because of this fucking packet, but there was a graph that was like, or like a chart that was like, take the stairs once a day instead of the elevator. This is how many pounds you could lose in a year. To like little changes, how many pounds you could lose in a year. But okay, so I have this packet, I read in the subway, and then I get home and I throw it out. And I was like so proud of myself for not like letting it affect anything that she said to me, even getting weighed at the doctor, like nothing, like not letting me affect me at all. Like I was not like pinched by it. I mean, yeah, I did take the stairs today only because I didn't have my dog, but like right. I was doing something like active, but I'm like so proud. It's a huge victory because like I entered that office like with like educated. You know, and like I went in there, like I knew what my weight was. Like, there's no surprises here. I know what you're gonna say, and like I know what this packet says. It's nothing new to me, so no sweat off my back.
Just get rid of that. That was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, fuck the packet.
Fuck the packet.
Yeah. I would take the stairs more if we weren't like locked out of the stairwell in this office.
Agreed.
Like, that's the thing.
I looked for the stairs. When
I would
came
take
up.
Them always
don't,
if it weren't that
you're
stupid.
Locked out.
It's so dumb.
Sammy, what is your win?
So I have two. They're both like not that big, but they're interesting. My first is I've been doing solid core, which I really like as a workout. Like I find it to be great.
What's that? That's like Pilates, but like in the dark. Like,
yeah. Pilates in the dark on a mega former. They call out, you know, the things and it's hard. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been doing it. I've probably taken like 10 classes already. And the first like few minutes of the class, like the first, let's say 10 minutes is like center core where it's the hardest part. It's like your abs and your obliques and like all this stuff. And it's a lot
your
of like
trunk.
Planking. Yeah. It's a lot of like planking for like a long time, slow reps of like really like high resistance movements. And so the first like few minutes, they basically want you to like plank on your toes with your hands on like the platform or whatever. I'm explaining
so
this too logistically, which is fine for a few seconds, but like it gets really hard after like a while. And then they say like you can move to your knees. So in the beginning, I was like pretty much on my knees the whole time. And now I've just been like slowly lengthening the amount of time I can spend on my toes. Awesome. And I feel like I've been making like a little bit of progress. I still can't do the whole thing on my toes, but
that's awesome.
More on that's my awesome. Toes than before.
Small goals. Remember.
Yeah.
Small
right. Goals. Exactly. Right. And I consciously said to myself, like, I'm not going to be able to like. Once I realized like I cannot stay on my toes like nearly the entire time, I was like, okay, well, I can just lengthen the amount of time on my toes and I can improve.
I read this quote that was like the other day. I don't remember where I saw it, but it was like a little by little, a little goes a really long way.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's like you really think about like every little change that you make today, like you keep making and it's tiny. It's celebrating these like tiny wins that we have like and continue to celebrate them. A month from now, 3 months from now, you can look back and say like, wow, I really made these tiny changes and it actually made a huge difference.
Yeah, like
I
over
could
time.
I could do a plank for an hour now.
We'll see.
Sam is going to be planking
to
work.
An hour.
Yeah, with Bruce on my like wrist. Yeah. My second win is that I went for my first dress fitting for my wedding dress.
Ooh.
And I'll just say that I could have walked out and got married. Like out of the
amazing.
Fitting, like the dress fit, like it was great.
Awesome.
But I said to the woman, I'm like, I plan to lose like 10 pounds. Like realistically, I'm gonna like that's gonna happen. She was like, why didn't you do that already? she was like, you. So what am I like? She's like, we can't keep taking it. It was the seamstress, not like the woman who I love it.
Yeah.
You know whatever. She was like, you know, we can't just keep taking it in until the wedding. I'm like, I literally, I was like, ha ha, that's funny. Like, every bride I know loses so much weight, like, the minute before their wedding. Uh-huh. She's like, no, they don't. I'm like, yes, they do.
Yes, they
I
do.
Basically, like, laughed in her, like with not rudely, but, like, I laughed you it all hardcore. Her. I kind of, like, said it, like, casually and nicely, but I was like, no. I was like, yeah. I was like, that's obviously false.
And don't make me feel about how I look right but now.
Here's the thing. I didn't really feel bad. Like,
yeah.
I felt like, I literally said, I was like, honestly, like, I feel like I would feel comfortable getting married in this dress right now, but I'm gonna lose 10 pounds. So we're gonna alter it. And I was just like, I didn't even like have time for her bullshit. I was just proud of how I like laughed it off, awesome. Didn't take it to heart, and I let it just like bounce right off.
Yeah. Amazing.
Also, like, what kind of, no brides are losing their weight and finish 3 months before their wedding. They're all losing it like the 3 days before. They're like not eating.
But
and
that,
like,
those expectations.
The stress makes you lose the weight.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, you're telling me that you don't have brides who lose all their weight like the month before. She's like, no. I'm like, I know that's false.
That's why you do a final fitting.
I'm like, first of all, I have a friend with me who got her wedding dress here who was losing her weight up until the last minute.
Yeah, look at her text messages. Yeah. Anyway, I thought those were great wins, guys.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much,
thank you,
Darcy,
for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, next time come in, bring the kids.
I will.
Yeah.
I love their names.
They're really awesome.
And so what do you have going on? Are you going to go on Peloton bike?
I have meetings for the rest of the day.
Okay.
So, and then...
Exciting.
Hopefully tonight after the kids go to bed, I'll be on...
Who's your favorite instructor?
I love... On the tread, I love Maddie. On the bike, well, I love Robin.
Robin?
Both, so...
I love me some Allie love.
I do. I love Allie. Yes. I miss the Jess King experience. I think it's coming back.
I wasn't there.
It's kind of insane. Like,
yeah.
It's just.
It's like Peloton insider info.
You don't even get it.
Inside baseball.
It is. It's great. Anyway. Well, thank you so much.
You.
Everyone, email us dst@betches.com. Go to iTunes right now. Just everyone, just stop what you're doing for 1 second. Go on iTunes or Spotify.
Like,
and if you like this podcast, I'm hoping that if you got to the end, you like it. And leave us a review about why you like it, what it is about this podcast that makes you coming back every single day. We come back every day. We spend our time recording and learning and hearing from amazing people like you, like Darcy, and we want to keep continuing that. And the way that we can is if you leave us a review, tell us how you feel. Just give us honest feedback in our emails, but a positive praise in the review.
Yeah, we appreciate your feedback. And honestly, like, I feel like I've learned, non-scale win. I feel like I've learned when I read a bad review, how to put it in perspective.
Same.
And how to.
We should read mean
take
reviews.
Feedback from it, like legitimate feedback, and to know what is just like late, like, oh, just a person who like they happen to not like me versus like, oh, this is something I can improve on
and
do better.
I loved when we did that on the story, the mean sort of like not mean tweets, but mean feedback, mean reviews.
That was really, I enjoyed that.
Funny,
those.
Yeah. Right?
Especially the one with Carly.
It's way to take it back, you know?
Right. And then I started reading, I was like, oh, let me read podcast reviews of like ones that I like know are like really good podcasts and like their hosts are like really legit. And they all have like negative comments. I'm like, oh, like this. And then it made me realize like, if people don't dislike you, they can never really like you. Other people can't really like you either. So that's all to say.
So if you like us,
only a good review.
Leave good reviews.
Yeah. And email us the honest feedback or DM.
It would show a lot of support. So we love you. And join our DSC Facebook group. We have amazing conversations popping off 24/7.
Yeah.
And
follow the Instagram that Carly runs.
Who is the godmother of your child.
It's all one big family. It's all one big fam.
Yeah. And all right.
Should we say our sign off?
We should.
We're always with you.
Through thick and thin. And speaking of thick and thin, we just launched a Dye Starts Tomorrow shop, like merch. And we have leggings that say thick on one ankle on the back, THICC, and thin on the other, by the way. And a sports bra. And what else?
And big pasta sweatpants.
Big pasta.
So anyway, I need to get my hands on those.
Go to shopbetches.com. /DST. I think if not, you'll find it
Collections.
Bye.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbine.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like homestyle meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's Impossible. EFOODS.com.
Betches.